By the way, he said, when you come to the place that you're all, he's all you have, that's right now. It's when we come to a place we realize that's all we have. Then we'll find he's all we need. The problem is a lot of people don't find out that he's all we need because they will somehow they think they have something else. Listen. In fact, I didn't know what she was singing tonight, and she didn't know what I was preaching on tonight, but I think it went well together. Ephesians chapter 3, if you will. Ephesians in the New Testament. We don't have a Bible with you. You can use one from in the pew behind in front of you there. There should be a Bible there. Ephesians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, if you will. And we've been talking about on Sunday morning possessing the promises. And the last couple of weeks we've been talking about possessing the power, which of course is the Holy Spirit. And this kind of goes along with that. It was something I wanted to do with this. It wasn't one of the messages I was going to do on Sunday morning. And I know my wife has been going through Ephesians with the ladies' class, so sorry about that, ladies, but we're going to work with this a little bit. It's been a couple weeks since you did this in Ephesians 3. You're in 6 or something, aren't you? Yeah. And so I want to take some time here. I want you to think some things through with me. Again, I think we live the life all by ourselves, and then we wonder why we're struggling. Now, to live the life that Christ wants us to live in the power of the Spirit, we do so by faith. So what does that mean? I was thinking about, we were kind of talking about this at lunchtime today, my wife and I. James says faith without works is dead. To live by faith means to do what God has called you to do, to do what his book says. Here, this is the manual of life. To live like he says, even when it doesn't make sense, and leave the results up to him. Let me say that again. Faith means living like God has called us to live and then leaving the results up to him. Now, the fact is, again, we were talking to somebody here, who it was here today, but they said, I know it was, we were talking to some folks from the morning service at lunch today. And he said, well, you know, sometimes God doesn't do it right away. You pray, you don't see the answer right away. That's exactly right. Because that's when you exercise faith. Listen, Paul says, I glory in tribulations, troubles, problems. Because tribulation worketh patience. What does that mean? I got to wait for God to do something. Now, if I believe that he's the one that needs to do it, then I need to wait for him to do it. Now, if I'm not willing to wait for him to do it, then I don't have faith he's going to do anything. So if I believe him, then I've got to, that's the time, that's what he's asking us to do. In fact, sometimes he waits until it looks impossible. Ask Lazarus. He waits until it looks impossible. Ask Jonah. And then in the ta-da nick of time, he does something. And in the case of Lazarus, even when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. Tribulations worketh patience. And patience, experience. I've been there, done that. It took a long time, but God did it just like he said he would. Fact is, if it was too easy and came too quick, we wouldn't remember it. The fact that it was, you just thought it wasn't going to happen, made you remember it, didn't it? So tribulation work with patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So the next time, the next tribulation that shows up here, you say, I don't know what God's waiting on, but I guess he knows what he's doing. I'm just going to wait for him to do it before I do something stupid and make it worse. Now, to be willing to do that takes strength on the inner man. Now, if you go back to Joshua chapter 1, don't do it right now. We were talking about this morning at lunch. But I guess after I preach, it was the afternoon for lunch. But anyway, Joshua, it says, be of good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. And he said, you're going to go in and take the promised land. okay, I gotta meet these giants. No. You listen, you watch it. You go back and read it. Joshua chapter 1. The strong and a good courage is do what God told you to do, even when it looks like you're gonna die. Do what God tells you to do, and not what you want to do in the flesh, even if it looks like it's not gonna work. Be strong and of a good courage to trust Him. Have faith to do right and wait. Listen, when they stood at the side of the Red Sea and the Egyptians were coming at them, and they had the sea behind them, and they had the mountains on the other side, and Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They needed to be strong and of a good courage. Strong where? In their faith in Him, in the inner man. Let me read some passages here, and we're going to talk about strength in the inner man. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not. Don't fall. Don't give up. That ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Paul here speaking to the church of Ephesus, and he was going through a lot of issues. Fact is, though, if God hadn't put him in jail and other things and kind of tied his hands up a little bit, he wouldn't have been able to write these books that we have. He probably would have been out here preaching on the street, never had a chance to do it. He says, don't you worry about the tribulations that I'm going through. Just hang tight, he says. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. For what cause? That they faint not because of his tribulations. Man, I mean, can you imagine? I don't want this to happen. Suppose your preacher ended up in jail. Don't walk away from God because you think God walked away from your preacher. All things are going on. We don't know what all God's doing. Now, I'm not interested in going to jail. But if it ever happened for standing for the truth, don't walk away from it. He says, I don't want you to faint. Don't you fall down. Don't you give up because, oh, my soul, what are we going to do? Preacher's in jail. God's not off the throne. God knew he was going to. They knew what was going on. So he says, I'm praying for you that you faint not. For this, verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom, watch, the whole family in heaven and earth is named. In other words, he's my father, he's your daddy. He's your daddy, he's your daddy, he's your daddy. He hasn't forgotten about you. We can cry, Abba, Father. That's what Abba means, daddy. Verse 16. And what's he praying? That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, which is a whole lot, everything he can do, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Here's the Holy Spirit again. He says, I'm sitting in jail, and I'm afraid you all are going to get scared, and you know, don't worry, nothing has changed. God has not forgotten me. He has not forgotten you. This is not all just a game, and we were fooled into something. This is all real. It's all working, but I'm praying for you that you'll be strengthened in the inner man, watch verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, I'll show you what that has to do with anything, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, understand with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. And let me give you a little hint here. You say, well, what does a love have to do with strength on the inner man? God is love. And God has not forgotten us. And so when Paul is sitting in jail in tribulations and you go through problems, what we got to do is understand the love of Christ. I know this is Larry's favorite passage is Romans 8, but who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. No one. No thing can separate us from the God of love. So when things go bad, God has not stopped loving you. He may be using you to do something great and mighty. One of these days, he may stand at the throne and call your name at the bema seat and say, hey, you know what you did? Remember that? You didn't know what was going on? I'll tell you what was going on. This is what was going on. And I'll tell you who it was. And he starts naming names and says, those people were strengthened because you took your stand. You didn't know that, did you? They didn't say anything to you, did they? But God was working through you. This person had this, or this happened for you. And so he says, I want you, verse 19, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. When it says passes knowledge, it doesn't mean without knowledge. It means it, with all the knowledge that God has of who we are and how little we, in fact, we don't deserve his love. He said, we're going to experience the fact that there's a love that passes all the facts. So how can he love me like that? That's who God is. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding, can this happen? Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. God's going to do it, and is there any God that can do it? And boy, I tell you what, one of these days we're going to look back there and say, look what God did. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about strength in the inner man. Hang tight with me. The hot dogs won't burn. All right, here we go. Strength in the inner man. Father, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you for each one you brought our way here this evening. We pray, Lord, you'll give us your wisdom, your understanding. We ask for your Holy Spirit to teach us your word. Lord, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The just are to live by faith. We have to rise up and grow in you. We need to know the word of God and then take that word and take the steps obeying. Just do what you've called us to do. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us. We need you. Lord, be one that doesn't know Christ as their Savior here this evening. Pray, Lord, they'll come to know Christ. Maybe they just need to take that step of following you in trusting you step by step, day by day. And Lord, maybe this be, at the very least, the beginning of all that. So, Lord, I pray that you work in our hearts. And, Lord, we give you the service. We'll give you the praise. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. When we get saved, there should be a change on the outside. Hang on. On the other hand, just because some things change or look different on the outside doesn't mean that the inner man has changed. And you're going to be able to keep it up forever. Sometimes we get saved and say, well, okay, I got to do this, I got to do this. And I see a lot of folks who try to put on all the stuff. Now, there's nothing wrong with trying to do right. That's fine. But putting on all the stuff doesn't change who the inner man is. After a while, we're not going to be able to handle all the stuff. Well, what he wants to do is to strengthen the inner man, to be able to face the day, the tribulations, if you will, but that comes from an inner strength. Now, it may not be jail like it is for Paul, but there may be some things, some tribulations, some persecutions. And you know what? Sometimes it comes from the people you love the most. It comes from a source you never thought possible. There was a day when you never thought, you never dreamed that you would get the problems where you're getting them. And God says, though, he knows what's going on. He says, I want you to be prepared, and I want to strengthen the inner man. Number one, first point here, this is just to keep us in mind, put the thought in there. I'm going to have several statements, and some of them, you're not going to think you're not going to see the sequence right away, but just hang tight with me. Number one is kind of a general statement here, and we need to just make sure we understand this. We need to be strengthened in the inner man. All right, that's what we've kind of said already. But I want you to understand that. We need to be strengthened in the inner man. Listen, a lot of folks are Christians. I'm saved. That's it. I don't need anything else, right? Everything's going to be fine. I'm not going to have any problems. I'm a Christian. Ask Paul. Ask Peter. We still live in a sin-cursed world. We're still going to have issues. We need to be strengthened in the inner man, in the inner man to face the tribulation, to face the persecution, to face the problems. It may even be a health problem. It could be all kinds of things. You say, well, how can they handle that? There's strength on the inner man. Now look back at our passage in Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 14. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, because of the tribulations, of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He's everybody's daddy. That he would grant you, watch, grant you, that means to give you, to bestow upon you, to commit into your hands, to deliver to you, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, which is beyond imagination. Boy, he's got a storehouse up there for us. Everything we need, all the wonderful things that God, I'm not talking just about physical things, but the fact of the strength, the inner strength that he can give you, it's all there. He's going to give us, according to the riches of glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Let me say that again. to be strengthened. That word is empowered, made powerful, to be strong in, to be strengthened in the with might. That word might there is a word dunamis. That means the miracle working power of God, the miracle working force of God. It's not, it's more than just us. So how can that person go through those things and just kind of do it? It was God. And let me say this while I'm here. Sometimes God gives us the strength that we need, but not till we need it. In fact, he does that an awful lot. Because you see, sometimes us going through the tribulations, like Paul, the way he handled the tribulation made a very impactful impression on the church of Ephesus. He's saying, don't worry about me, I'm fine. But you're in jail. Now, jail there wasn't pretty. I mean, sometimes when you were put in jail, there was a hole in the ground where everybody else had gone. And by the way, it's bad enough in jail when the toilet's in the corner, but they didn't have a toilet. They just went and they closed them up and they sat down in the muck and the mire, and the next guy comes in and sits down. And so it was, it was not pretty. And so he said, how can Paul do this? God gave him grace at the right time. While everybody else who said, well, I couldn't do this. That's right, because you're not going through it. So you don't need the miracle-working power of God to go through that right now. So you are impressed, if you will. You are amazed at what God can do in that person's life. Now, the fact is, if we're walking with God, when the time comes and tribulation comes, we've already got a straight line to God, and we're walking, we're in an inner man, we've got God flowing, and when the time comes and we need that inner grace, that inner strength, it's there. He says, strengthened with might by his Spirit. That means through the channel of, through the conduit of his Spirit. God himself. We talked about the possessing the Holy Spirit in you this morning. His Spirit in the inner man, the heart, the soul of man. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes it'd be a whole lot easier to smack somebody in the nose than to wait to see what God's going to do. But tribulation works with patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And realize God's doing something. He said, we're not strengthening the flesh. The inner man is strengthened, watch, by an increase, watch me, in the presence of the Spirit of God. That's what he said, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The inner man is strengthened by an increase of the presence, spent allowing him to. Now, we don't get more of the Spirit, okay? When you got saved, you got all the Spirit. But to increase the presence is that he's more present in your life. I've used this illustration before, but I'll use it again. They say when you get ready to sell a house, you're supposed to put an apple pie in the oven so that when they walk in, they smell the house. Everything looks good, but it smells like a place you want to stay. All right? Now, let's say you got an apple pie in the oven. And the kitchen is one of those that you can kind of close off. You know, you got it all closed off, they got the door shut, and the apple pie is in the oven. I don't know about you, I remember there were some times when I was a kid, like during Thanksgiving or whatever it was, and mom's cooking, and you walk into the kitchen, and all of a sudden, it hits you in the face. You say, oh my goodness, what is this? She makes the best pumpkin pie. I'm just sorry, she just does. Everybody has their recipe, but mom's is the best. You know how it is. And you can walk and you smell that pumpkin pie. Now, is there a pie in the house? Is it? Okay. But the thing is, I didn't smell it until I got to the kitchen. Now, what if we opened up the doors to the kitchen and brought the thing up over the counter there and let those kind of float through the entire house? We have no more of pumpkin pie in the house, but we have the essence, the influence of the pie. You don't see, well, sometimes from some, when some people cook, you see it, you know. But you're not supposed to see the scent. It goes through the room all by itself. Now, that's the way it is with the Spirit of God. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit more on next Sunday morning. But the Holy Spirit comes in. You have all of Him. The thing is, does He have an influence on every area of your life? And you know what? He wants us to pull the closets open. Take the box out of the back there that we've been hiding from Him. He knows it's there. Take the lid off. Listen, He wants to influence every single area of our life. The more God is allowed to manifest Himself in our lives, the more of His power will be present. See, we're being empowered by the miracle working force of the Spirit of God. But where are we allowing Him to work? Some folks let Him go as far as salvation. All right, I'm saved. He regenerated me. I've got his righteousness imputed to me. I'm going to heaven. Thank you. I'll see you when it's time to go. And that's as far as they let the Spirit. Let Him save them, and then they don't let Him do anything else. God, in that still small voice, wants to penetrate every single area of our life. When we strengthen the inner man, watch me, we must by default be relinquishing the authority of the outer man. We got all these doors in our lives, and we're saying, I want you to go this far, the sweet smell of the Spirit. I don't want you to go this far. But when we say, I want to be filled with the Spirit, when I want Him to control me, we're going to throw the doors open and say, come on in, have your way. Lord, here's my marriage. Come in, have your way. Here's my thought life. Come in, have your way. Here's my computer. Come in, have your way. Here's my family and my children. Come in, have your way. We need to be filled with Him. John 14, 16 says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him. But for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This was before He rose, but now He is in us. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. This is Jesus saying, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day, ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He says, listen, I'm going to go to the Father. Jesus said, I'm going to go to heaven. We'll send the Holy Spirit. And you know where the Holy Spirit's going to come, and He's going to be in your life. And you're going to say, wow, Jesus was in God, and Jesus is in me. I have His Spirit. See, if verse 21 says, he that hath my commandments, watch. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it thou wilt manifest thyself unto us? How is it that I'm going to experience you in my life? How is it we are going to experience you and not the rest of the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto me and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. In other words, if you think that the law of God doesn't count anymore, you're mistaken. However, we're not saved by the law. How are we going to know what was right and what pleases God if we don't know the law? All right? Jesus didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill the law. Now, I know there's all the ceremonial stuff and all that stuff, and God's not expecting us to do that. But listen, when it said, thou shalt not lie, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not, you know, and all this stuff, you know, that's still true. And in fact, God starts putting a lot of other things on top of that, because all the law and the prophets is this: love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind, all the soul and the strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Let me show you something here. In real close here, back up to, hold your place in Ephesians, but back up to Galatians 5. It's probably just a page or two or three. Galatians 5:16. We have, when you get saved, you've got you, but you've also got Christ. You've got the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ inside you. Now look what it says here in verse 16, Galatians 5:16. For this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I follow the Holy Spirit, let him have control. Open the doors of the room and let him come in and influence everything I'm doing. He has the authority in my life, not my flesh. He says, if I will let him control, that I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I won't be doing what my flesh tells me I want to do. That's which all, by the way, usually gets in trouble. Verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. What it says that is this: it's saying if I'm doing what my flesh wants, I'm not going to be able to do what the Spirit wants. If I'm doing what the Spirit wants, then I'm not going to be doing what the flesh wants. You don't mix the two together. Doesn't work. Verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, influenced by, given him the authority, let him give the authority of your life. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. You say, well, what about, you just say you don't need a law. That's right. You're not under the law. You don't need the law, because you will naturally do what the law says. His Spirit is not going to teach you to do something or lead you to do something against his law. You see, people come to church, go to some church with a bunch of rules and regulations. Don't do this and don't do this. Can't have any fun. I don't have to have flesh to have fun. In fact, I can have fun and not wake up with a hangover or a needle sticking in my arm or half dead or having run around with my wife and come out and lose my family and lose my kids and lose my ministry and lose everything I have. I can have a whole lot more fun without that mess. He said, listen, he said, we can be led of the Spirit. We won't fulfill the flesh. In fact, if you're led of the Spirit, I'm going to love my wife. I'm not going to cheat on her. I'm going to love you. I'm not going to steal from you. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to love. You don't need the laws anymore. You don't need the rules, because you do it naturally. Verse 19, but the works of the flesh are manifest. Here's how we know the works of the flesh, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, all those sexual things, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, idolatry. Most time we put ourselves on the pedestal. Witchcraft, that's pharmakia, drugs. Drugs. I need something to get me through the day. You strengthen the inner man, you don't need that mess. It empties your pockets as well as it empties your heart, be honest with you. Don't need that stuff. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. I'll take control of my life and nobody's going to stop me. That's the flesh. Envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, such like the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, you don't get to heaven doing that. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, what shows up when the Spirit is there? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, not weakness, temperance, that's self-control. Against such there is no law. We walk in the Spirit. Now watch out when we walk in love. Hang tight. Turn one page back. Look at 5:13. Or maybe it's right there. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have not been called, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Now, you ready? Just hang tight with me. We need to strengthen the inner man. We strengthen the inner man by allowing the Holy Spirit to have authority in our heart, in our lives, our soul. Right? Okay? Number two. You're going to think this has nothing to do with anything, but hang tight with me. Ready? God is love. We need to strengthen the inner man by having more of the Spirit. Now, the Spirit is God, and God is love. Now, let me say this. Love is more than a warm feeling. Love is more than the tingles. Love is more than a sunshiny glow. Love is not necessarily agreeing with everyone else so no one feels bad. Love is sacrificial whether you like someone or not. Love is outward actions. Now, we're not going to take the whole time. If you go back through 1 Corinthians 13, and there's a love chapter there. That is who God is. Seeks not her own. Is not vaunted, doesn't puff oneself up. Love is seeking the best of the other. Now, God is love. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that tonight because we're going to get bogged down here. But we need to be strengthened on the inner man by having more of him, have God take more control and more authority in our life. God is love. Number three, hang tight with me. We needed to be rooted and grounded in love. Look at verse 17. Go back to our passage in Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, 17. He says he's praying that God's going to grant them according to riches of glory and by the spirit of might and inner man. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. He said that we need to be rooted and grounded in love. Now watch. If we're going to be strengthened in the inner man, we must be full of God. Or as filled as we can be. And the Holy Spirit is God. Hang tight. If we are full of God, we are full of what God is. Listen, when somebody comes down on you and you rake them around over, I'm not going to take this. Well, don't you do this. Listen, I'm not going to, you know what? And maybe you don't do it loud. Just, I'm not going to take this. I bit my tongue. I didn't say a word, did I? Well, good for you, but God knows what was going on in your heart. I'm not yet full of Him. So I'm still weak on the inner man. Now, let me tell you, let me say it again. It'd be a whole lot easier to let my flesh smack somebody in the nose. That's because I'm weak on the inside. If I'm strengthened on the inner man, then I can do what he says. He said, got an enemy? Pray for your enemies. Bless them to curse you. Pray for them to despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be called the children of God. What does that mean? Boy, they're just like their daddy. Why? Because the strength is on the inner man, not in the outer man. We must start with love. To be full of God's love, we must be rooted and grounded in love. What we do, what we think, everyday life, start every morning yielding to Him. Look at our passage in Ephesians 3:17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, and it goes on the next one, may be able to comprehend. Let's go that far. It says that Christ may dwell. That word dwell means to house permanently, to reside in, to be an inhabitant of, to occupy the house. Who's running your house? You or God? Well, how do we know? Well, who are you obeying? The lust of your flesh or being led by the Spirit? You get up in the morning, you say, well, it's my house. You wouldn't have a house if it wasn't for him. He gave you a house. He keeps the house. He keeps the motor running in your house. He keeps the air on. He says, let him control the house. Ye may dwell, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Watch, that ye being rooted. What's a root do? You have trees. I bless those folks down there in Texas. Oh, my soul. Just being wiped off the map there almost with the hurricane. And you know what we'll say? Man, did you see the size of that tree got blown over? Well, why would a tree stand up? Why would it stand up at all? It has roots. Where's your roots? What's the basis of your thinking? What is the foundation of your thoughts and your life? We are built on what God is, or we're built on us, which will not stand. He says, rooted, stabilized, stationary, because that is the source from which we're drawing life. That's what the roots do. This is life. Where do you seek your life? Where are you going? To what you have, what the world has, or what God has? So, listen, Jesus was talking to the disciples. He talked about some things that were a little hard to understand. And it said, the Bible says about that time, a bunch of his other disciples left him. And he turned to his 12 and said, will you also leave me? You know what Peter says? Where are we going to go? You have the words of life. That's what we're talking about. That's life. Everything is good. Listen, the storms of life is going all around me there, but the fact is I am not going to run, pull up my roots like a cartoon. You ever see the tree pull up its roots and run? You know, one of those old cartoons. All right, don't pull up your roots and run. Dig deeper. That's your foundation. That's where we're strengthened in the inner man. He says, be rooted, and then it says grounded. That's the foundation. You put it into the ground so it becomes immovable. That's a wonderful, some people will live in trailers, and that's fine. The fact is, if there's no foundation, sometimes a wind comes along and pushes it. We're going down. We're going to dig a foundation so it doesn't go anywhere. And the foundation is the Word of God. Now, love is of God. Because God is love. So God is our source of all truth and strength. Love is the foundation on which our spiritual lives are built. God is in the house forever, but how do you treat him? Do you treat him like a guest? Well, you just sit over there and we'll take care of it. Don't do a thing. You don't need to do a thing. We'll take care of all that. You think that's good? He doesn't want to be a guest. He says, I'm sitting here in all this dirt. Let me help you clean it up. Let me come in and do something in your life. Do you treat him like he has no rights in your house? Sit down. Well, why not? No, that's all right. I got to tend to. Or do you treat him as the owner of the house? Which he is. Let me give number three. Hang tight. I know. It's kind of heavy stuff here. We need to develop that original grounding of love by seeking to comprehend the scope of God's love. Now, look at verse 17 again. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, let me say it real concisely and then come back and kind of explain it to you. How can we have faith to go through all the stuff that life goes through, all we go through? Well, I got to trust God. Well, why would he do anything? I've heard people, well, he's just kind of busy, isn't he? got a lot of things to attend to. I mean, he got stuff going all over the world. He didn't have time to think about me. He's God. He's got the hairs on your head counted. Now, that's not as much trouble for some people than others, but he's got all the hairs counted. If a sparrow cannot fall without his notice, listen, he knows what you're going through. He says, I know we're going through tribulations. How are you going to handle it? You need to know the height and the depth and the breadth of God's love. He loves you. He's not throwing you away. Most time, I almost say every time, that we feel separated from God is not because God's separated from us, but we walked away from him. You know why? Well, he doesn't care about me. I don't know. That's Satan talking to you. That's the world telling you that. That's your own insecurity telling you that. Your flesh. Listen, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. How many? Whosoever. I'm sorry, I love you, but I'm not giving my son to die for you. But he did. He did. Oliver B. Green said it this way, the breath of love. You need to know the breath? Well, God so loved the world. He saves to the uttermost. He loves for eternity. The length of God's love, God gave his only begotten son. No greater gift than that. Jesus' death for our sin is the epitome of love. The depth, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. The height, everlasting life. There's nothing greater or higher. And as we move fully, as we more fully understand the love of God toward us, I think we'll even seek to love God and others more. We'll feel safe because you know he loves us. Listen, love being manifested in our life is a sign of strength in the inner man. Anger and selfishness is a sign of weakness in the inner man. A strong person is able to love. A weak person is hateful. How we doing? How we doing? Number five. Watch what it says, look in verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now what's God made of? What is he? Love. If I'm full of God, I'm be full of his love. Ephesians 3:19, number five, we need to be filled with God's love. Verse says this, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And to know, to perceive, to understand the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, goes beyond. What? It's over my head. That's what it means. That word said passeth knowledge means to throw beyond. I mean, he's throwing stuff at me that I can't even understand. All I know is that his love is so great, I can't even comprehend it. It goes beyond our knowledge. And he loves even though he does know who we are. Beyond our knowledge, to know reality, what is actually the case in the situation, that we be filled, to be fully furnished. I love this word, crammed full. No room for anything else. Full filled, to be filled with all the fullness, the completeness of God. We need to be filled with the fullness of God. We can have received the Spirit. We got saved. We can be indwelt by the Spirit because he stays with you. And we may still not be filled with the Spirit. Let me say it again. We can receive the Spirit and be indwelt by the Spirit, even sealed with the Spirit, like we talked about this morning, and still not be filled with the Spirit. You can go out and buy yourself a Marie Callender's apple pie and take it home and put it in the oven, and the kitchen is full. You've got a pie in the house, and it's not affecting the rest of the house, not affecting the rest of the life. What is our heart filled with? That tells us where God's placed it in our heart. And we can see whether our inner man is strengthened by what's coming out of us. God wants to flood our hearts with His fullness. We either need to empty ourselves of self or allow the flood of God's love to flush self out. Now, I know God does different things in different people's hearts. There's a little pamphlet that I've read, oh man, years and years ago, 40 years ago. Well, at least 35. And so how D.L. Moody was filled with the Spirit. D.L. Moody was a pastor, was a preacher, and he was going around doing great things. And there was two little old ladies that kept coming around to his meetings. And they said, Brother Moody, we're praying for you. You'll be filled with the Spirit. I said, well, I appreciate that very, very much, but do you see we're getting folks saved and things are doing just fine, but I think we're just fine. Well, we're praying for you that you'll be filled with the Spirit. They get to another meeting, and somehow these two little ladies will show up. We're so grateful for you and what God's doing in your life, Brother Moody, and we're praying for you that you'll be filled with the Spirit. And this went on and on and on. And he said, after a while, he just said, what am I missing something here? And the Lord started working on his heart. And time went by, and it came to the point, he says, I could hardly do the work of the ministry. We needed some money, and my old John Wanamaker from the Wanamaker store in Philadelphia here, he would help Moody with funds to kind of, move the ministry along. And he says, I couldn't even hardly talk to anybody about the funds. I mean, it's just, I was so overwhelmed. There's a fullness. If there's a fullness, I want it. And he says, one day he was walking in New York City on Wall Street, and all of a sudden it came upon him that he could hardly stand it. And he went to an apartment of a friend of his and took a room in the back. Now, God doesn't do it the same way with everybody else. So don't look for some kind of experience. But I will tell you this. He says, I went in that room and it says it was like great waves, listen, of God's love. Because when God comes on you, that's who He is. All he could do is his great waves of God's love. And he said, all I know is I sought it with all my heart. By the way, if you seek with all your heart, you'll find him. And we're not looking for the experience. We're looking for the God. He said, you know where we used to get 3 or 4 saved? We had 20. Where we used to have 20, we had 100. Where we used to have 100, we'd have 500. He says, they say the D.L. Moody kind of shook two continents, both America and Europe. The same old guy, the Bible said, who just destroyed the Queen's English. But God had his hand on him. You say, well, I've got a life that's just a mess. Nothing. Listen, God may do that with him. He's got a plan for you too. And whatever that mess is, Paul said, don't worry about the tribulations. Be strengthened on the inner man, and you're going to be strengthened when you have God, and when you have God, you're going to have His love. And we're almost done. Hang on tight. Listen, the goal is to know the love that goes beyond knowledge. That's who God is. Colossians 3:12 says this, put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. By the way, if you can't forgive, Holy Spirit's not moving there. Forgiving one another, forbearing one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And above all these, put on charity. That's agape. That's love, which is the bond of perfectness. The mark that you actually have grown up and you've got the inner man strengthened. How can we do that? Look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What is it? Listen, God is able. to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Are you yielding to him? You see, till we go, God says, do this. You say, well, I don't know if it makes sense, but you said it's going to do it. So you take that step of faith, walking around Jericho again, huh? You take that step of faith, and God empowers you. You stay where you are. You don't need his power because you're not going out on faith. You don't experience until you're willing to go. That means, instead of trying to fix your wife or your husband, you're just going to love them. See what God does. You got somebody there that just seems like going the wrong direction in your life. Love them. That's hard. God can do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can think and ask. God is able. He has the power to make it possible to do exceeding abundantly. It's all one word. Over, above, beyond, transcending, superior, superabundantly above. In other words, over, above, above. That's really what it means. Above, above, above. All that we ask, do beg, we crave, desire, require, or think to exercise the mind, consider, perceive. Listen, he can do all we can even think of. In fact, the things we can't think of, he can fix some things. According to the power, the dunamis, the miracle-working power that worketh in us. The question is, are we allowing God to work in us? To effectively, efficiently, and actively work in us. Are we yielded to the Lord, or is the flesh still filling up most of what we are? Truth is, we will probably never be completely full of the Spirit on this side of the world, this side of eternity. But we can be so full that the likelihood that anything other than the love of God is going to come out of our vessel, it can be extremely slim. We're not perfect. But we can come to the point where what's coming out of us when someone shakes us up, it's God's love, not our flesh. That's how you strengthen the inner man. So what does that have to do with that? You get God, and you'll realize he's in control. He loves me. And when the tribulations come, like it did with Paul, says, faint not. I don't want you to faint. I just want you to understand God loves you. Really, when you realize that God loves me, wants what's best for me, that I can face anything that the world can throw at me. And I'm going to trust him. He's going to work me through that. Now, listen, there may be some patience going on here. We may need to exercise some things. And when we do fail, ask forgiveness. He's faithful and just. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mercies are new every morning. We get to start new. And then it says, God gets the glory in the church. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. A lot of people say, well, no, I don't see God doing anything in my life. That's because we haven't opened the doors. We're keeping him all penned up in the kitchen. And the sweet smell of his presence is not being allowed to permeate the rest of your life. But if you're going to be allowed to permeate, we've got to give him the authority, the right, and the privilege to take over the house. God is seen for what he is when the church is full of God. And we know we're full of God when we're truly full of God's love and forgiveness. Strength in the inner man is not being able to tell somebody off or push our will on someone else, but to be able to love, even submit, unto the world sees Christ. Are you full of the fullness of God? Father, thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Thank you for that you would even allow us to have the fullness of God. I know we've talked about a lot of things. Lord, I pray that you work in our hearts. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.